Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day when life with Jesus meets yours. You've got your Study Saturday episode for August 3rd, 2019, featuring Pastor Kevin Waddles talking about the freedom of the Christian. Here goes.
What does it mean to be a Christian? If you asked a variety of people that question, you'd get a variety of different answers. Some people would say that to be a Christian means to go to church. Other people would say that to be a Christian means to do good things, to be helpful to people. Still other people would say that to be a Christian means to have a certain political viewpoint, to vote for certain political candidates. If you ask a group of Christians, what would it mean to be a Christian? Some of those Christians would say, well, to be a Christian means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Other Christians would say to be a Christian means to be a believer in Jesus as one Savior. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Please allow me to use the illustration of marriage to talk a little bit about what it means to be a Christian. Now, one of the things that can lead to a couple having a marriage that is fulfilling and long-lasting is that as that couple is a bride and groom on their wedding day and making their wedding vows to one another, their marriage promises, that they actually believe that what they are promising to one another is true and that the other person is going to fulfill those promises to the best of his or her ability. In other words, the groom believes that what his bride is promising, she's going to fulfill and she's going to do. And the bride believes that what the groom is promising, he's going to fulfill and he's going to do. Some people would say, though, that this is crazy. It's crazy to believe that two imperfect people can actually do these perfect things for one another for the rest of their lives. I mean, think about it. Here you have two imperfect people that are promising to love one another perfectly, that are promising to always say kind things to one another and to do loving things for one another, not just on their wedding day, not just on the honeymoon, but for decades to come. In fact, really for the rest of their lives. And some people would say, that's crazy. How could you expect that to be true? How could you expect that to happen? Yet, for that bride and groom to have a marriage that's long-lasting and fulfilling, they have to believe these promises that they make to one another on their wedding day. Being a Christian is kind of like that. Christians believe that God makes his promises to people in the Bible. And if you think about some of those promises that God makes in the Bible, some people would say they are kind of crazy. Let me give you an example. One example would be God's love. In the Bible, God promises to love everybody, all the time, no matter what. I'm calling that God's love you no matter what kind of love. Language they speak, God promises to love everybody. It's his, I love you no matter what kind of love. And the Bible actually uses a word to describe this kind of love that God has for people. No matter what, it's called grace. And some people would say it's crazy that Christians believe in this grace. It's crazy that God loves people no matter what. So how is it that Christians believe this? I mean, how can Christians believe something that some would say sounds pretty ridiculous? It sounds crazy. About 500 years ago, there was a man by the name of Martin Luther. And he's become pretty well known to historians because back 500 years ago when he lived, he was pretty well known and he wrote a lot of things. One of the documents that Luther wrote about 500 years ago is called On Christian Freedom. And one of the things that Luther talked quite a bit about in On Christian Freedom is how is it that people can believe these promises of God that some people would say are kind of crazy sounding promises of God. Luther talked a lot about the Word of God in that document On Christian Freedom. Luther said that he believed that the Word of God was actually the Word of God, the very words of God to people. It wasn't just the human author's words, what they wrote, it was the actual Word of God. Luther said that for him, the Word of God is everything. And then he said this about this Word of God that's everything. He said that in the Word of God, there's actually the ability in that Word to enable people to believe God's promises. And then Luther used a word that the Bible itself actually uses to talk about how it is that people can believe this Word of God. He says that they believe it through faith, and that this Word of God has the ability to actually create this faith in the hearts of people. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, one of the things that it means to be a Christian is to believe the promises that God makes in the Bible through the faith that God gives through that Word of God in the Bible. Now, another thing that couples find that if they want to have a marriage that is long-lasting and fulfilling, that has to be, though, that has to happen is that as they live together as husband and wife for the years and the decades that they're together, during their married life, they speak to one another words of good news. Now, we might hear that and we might say, well, that's obvious and that sounds good and it's pretty easy and it's pretty true. And it would make sense that couples in marriage like to hear these words of good news. But if you think about it, we don't always like to hear or we can't always easily believe the things that people say to us are true or take them to heart. Yes, we know good things about ourselves and we like to think good things about ourselves. But we also know the opposite is true about ourselves. If we take a deep, long look within ourselves, and it's good to do that, it's good for us to take a deep, long look within ourselves, we recognize that within ourselves there are dark thoughts. And we know we have a memory that recalls the terrible things that we have done throughout our life that we are so hopeful that nobody else knows about or that their memories can recall. And so it's not so easy to always believe the good things that one spouse might say to one another in marriage. I use my marriage as an example. My wife and I have been married for about 20 years, just over 20 years. And if you ask my wife, during those 20 years, have you discovered some things about Kevin that are things that you didn't know about on the day when you first got married that you would say are wonderful and are great and have been very pleasant surprises? She would tell you, yeah, there's things that I now know about Kevin that are wonderful and great that I didn't first see there is true. But the opposite is also true. If you were to ask her, hey, are there things about Kevin that during your 20 plus years of being married to him that, you know, like if he could change this about his personality or he could change that certain habit that he has, that you would be okay with him doing that? She would there also say, yeah, it would be okay if he did that. I'd be up for that change. And the thing of it is I know that. I know that there are things about me, in my personality, in what I do, in my habits, that aren't good. And yet, my wife loves me. And she speaks loving words to me. She does kind things for me. She gives me good news. Being a Christian is kind of like that. God speaks good news to Christians, to believers in the Bible every day, all the time. And it's good news that people need to hear. It's good news that people need to hear because we know those things about ourselves are true, and they speak to us every day as well, those dark thoughts that we have. Again, that we know the terrible things that we've done, and they come up and they haunt us in our memories. And so it's important that we have that other message with us every day, that good news about what God has done for us and about how He feels toward us. And how does God feel toward us? How does God feel toward people? Well, I already touched on that a little bit with you here. Talked about that God loves us no matter what kind of love. That's true. We need to hear that message every day. But there's some things that God has done for us that we also need to be aware of every day. And we need to know and believe are true for us personally. I'd like to give you an example of one of those. It's an illustration, really, that God uses in the Bible. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. If you're a Bible reading person, if you know your way around the Bible at all, you can find 2 Corinthians 5, 21 and check me out on this. There God says this. He says that God made him, there he's talking about his son, Jesus, that's the him, the Son of God. God made him who had no sin. So Jesus didn't have any of those dark thoughts. He didn't do any of those terrible, horrible things that we've done. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. So that in him, there's that faith again. So through faith in Jesus, we might become the righteousness. Righteousness is a word that means blameless or innocent, holy, perfect, that we might become the righteousness of God. What God is talking about there is a great exchange that happened. This exchange, history tells us, took place about 2,000 years ago, the other side of the world, outside the ancient city of Jerusalem, on a hill, at a death by crucifixion, that death by crucifixion, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That when he died, he took those dark thoughts, he took those mistakes, those errors. The Bible uses the word the sins of humankind upon himself, and he died on the cross. He made a payment for them there. And we get something back from what Jesus did, again, through this thing called faith, belief, trust in him, and that's that righteousness. Now, I don't know about for you, but for me, this is a very freeing and liberating message. That what Jesus Christ has done for us and for all people is something that can set people free from those haunting thoughts and those terrible mistakes that we've made. Martin Luther, in that same document on Christian freedom, talked about this like this. He said that a Christian is at the same time a free master, subject to no one, and a dutiful servant subject to everybody. Now, if you think about that, how can both be true? And Luther would be the first to agree that there's a great paradox there, that that doesn't make sense. How can somebody be truly free and a dutiful servant all at the same time? But Luther also went on to say this. He said that if a person could make sense of these things all at the same time for oneself, then one would there find something truly beautiful. It's kind of like how marriage works. In marriage, when one has a spouse, or hopefully both spouses are doing this mutually for one another, saying loving words to their spouse and doing very kind things for their spouse, that engenders a response. It produces something. What it brings back are loving words, loving actions from one spouse to another. And so what Luther is talking about there when he says that a Christian is both at the same time truly free, a truly free master and a truly dutiful servant, what he is talking about is we are Christians who at the same time have received from God this wonderful work that Jesus has done from us, and that has an influence on us, that has an impact on us, that makes a difference, that produces something, it empowers us to something, to be that dutiful servant. What does it mean to be a dutiful servant? What does it mean to be subject to everyone? Christians, there's one debt that a Christian owes, and that is the debt of love. It can be hard to love. If you're married, you know that it can be hard to love. If you're not married, ask someone who's married. And sometimes loving can be hard. Yet, for couples to have a marriage that's long-lasting and fulfilling, they have to love one another even when that love is not their first inclination, even when it's hard. She wants to go to the theater. On that same night, he wants to watch the game. You know the game, the big game, the really big game, the playoff game, the championship game. That's what he wants to do. But she says, no, I want to go to the theater. He goes to the theater, and he goes with a smile on his face, and everybody who sees him there is given the impression that there is no other place on that night that man, that husband, would rather be than at the theater. That's love. That's loving when it's hard, when it's not maybe one's first inclination. Husbands and wives who've been married for a long time will tell you that throughout those decades of marriage, there are times when there are words that are spoken that are hurtful, and there are actions that are done that wound. And what is the response of love in a situation such as that? Love says, forgive. Love forgives. And that's what Christians believe. That Christians love when it's hard, when it's not someone's first inclination. The world in which you and I live encourages us to put people into categories and people into groups. Talks about those people out there, and it gives them different labels. Some of those people are labeled as, you know, those people over on the other side of town. You know them, those people. Sometimes they're the people that are associated with a certain political group. They're the people that are associated with a certain religion, the people that speak a certain language, that have a certain color of their skin. Whatever the case may be, we as people in this culture, in this society, are encouraged to put people into groups. Those people over there. And sometimes those people over there do things that anger us, and they do things that upset us. And what's our response? Our first inclination, that natural response, might be to lash out, to become angry, to get people back, to hurt people as they have hurt us. Christians think about, what did God do when we angered him, when we disappointed him, when we hurt him? Did he lash out? Did he get back? Actually, he did. But he didn't get back at you. He didn't get back at me. He didn't lash out at the world. He put all those things on his son, Jesus. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And in that righteousness, moved by what God has done for Christians, what do Christians do? Christians love, even when it's hard. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Being a Christian means believing in the promises God makes in the Bible through faith. It means believing the good news that God speaks to us every day in the Bible, again, through faith. And it means loving, even when that loving is hard. Thank you.